Okay, Mr. Lancaster, if you're ready, the next case is number 2010-1078, Duratec against Bridgeview Manufacturing. Mr. Lancaster.
May it please the court, I do represent the appellant Bridgeview. As the court appreciates, I'm appearing before the court for the second time on the same issue, the construction of the word manipulator in the context of an invention to set up a structure for distributing crop material. After receiving the court's first opinion, which narrowed and reversed the decision of the lower court, I didn't expect to be standing here again, particularly after the last paragraph instructions from that decision, in which the court said that the term manipulator was not so empty a concept that it needed to be filled in from the specification. But perhaps more to the point, I don't think even Duratec expected to be standing here with respect to this issue, because when we moved for summary judgment of infringement after the court's prior ruling, Duratec did not propose the construction that the district court adopted. In fact, it didn't propose any alternative construction at all. Instead, it argued merely that there was a fact issue created by various events in the Canadian proceeding. We think that this second appeal presents as starkly as any case can the question of whether limitations from a specification are going to be imported into otherwise clear claim language. We don't think there's any novel legal principles here. It's a straightforward application of a rule that this court has announced many times.
But we've also announced the legal principles that the claims are construed, interpreted in light of the specification.
That's so right, Your Honor.
That needs to be balanced, doesn't it?
That's right, Your Honor. And in particular, the court, in looking at that question, has identified a number of respects in which claim language may be changed by language in the specification, or for that matter, in the file history. The court has held, for instance, that if there is a definition in the specification, that might overrule otherwise clear claim language. The court has held that if there's a disavowal in either the specification or the file history, that might overrule clear claim language. Obviously, if there's a narrowing amendment in the file history, that might overrule otherwise clear claim language. But in this case, there is nothing plausibly in the specification or the file history that could plausibly be used to either supply a definition or change the scope of the construction. What we argued before was that the plain meaning applied, but if this court is going to apply a definition, the definition that this court referenced in its prior opinion is what we think is the most sensible one. And what this court said in its prior opinion, citing a 1997 Random House Dictionary definition, was that a manipulator is a, quote, mechanical device for remote handling of objects or materials in conditions not permitting the immediate presence of workers, close quote. That's the definition that the court found appropriate the first time it looked at the case. Now, the arguments that Duratec makes in this case are not exactly the argument that Your Honor just phrased.
But the specification says the present invention is manipulators with rollers and walls.
What the specification...
I mean, that's saying that invention is this. We've often said that sort of language is very important.
What the specification says, I think in virtually every section quoted by Duratec, is here's the invention as depicted in, as it happens, figures 1, 2, and 3. And it does go on at some length to describe that invention depicted there. But the problem with the conclusion that that's the entire invention is that the specification makes clear that those are embodiments. The drawings,
well,
the figures...
Counsel, not on column 8, the language Judge Rader was referring to at 66 and 67, says, in accordance with the present invention, the manipulator means includes rollers, walls, combine and control, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's not a reference to a particular figure, nor does it indicate that this is only a reference to one embodiment, but rather more broadly says this is the present invention.
Your Honor, I'm not seeing the exact language that you're referring to. Could you give me
column
the...
Column 8, line 66.
Okay, thank you. The context of that statement, as I say, is discussion of particular embodiments, although I appreciate, Your Honor, that in that particular section, it doesn't discuss it. Now, what is ironic about the argument that the Duratec makes here, which does contain a number of references in which the specification, and the court has just pointed to one, discusses rollers, is that the premise of the prior appeal was the regular use of the phrase manipulator means, or means for manipulation, meant that it had to be treated as means plus function language. And so, while it is correct that in a number of places there's a reference to a manipulator with rollers, there are also many references, and those were the references that Duratec spoke to on the first appeal, to means for manipulation or manipulation means. But the most important...
I guess I don't understand your point. Our court has held that when you use the word manipulator in a claim, it does not amount to a 112.6 trigger. So that's not something for us to reach in this case. That is law of the case, and it's decided. But are you suggesting that throughout the specification, when they alternatingly refer to manipulator, manipulator means of manipulation, that somehow it's multiple different things? Or are you in agreement that when the spec uses those words, it's always talking about the same manipulator that is the subject of these claims?
Our position is that the specification makes clear through those alternative forms, manipulator means for manipulation, granted that we're not arguing about means plus function language anymore, that there can be different kinds of manipulator.
But would you agree that the only particular embodiment disclosed anywhere in the specification to act as a manipulator are the rollers in combination with the shape of the device?
Yes, Your Honor. I do agree with that, and I would also call the court's attention to many cases, including Phillips, but many other cases that say even if a single embodiment is disclosed, that does not constitute a disavowal or a definition.
But doesn't it cause you some concern for written description? We are to construe claims to have their plain and ordinary meaning in light of the specification, but usually a patentee in this context would be quite nervous that if there is only one embodiment disclosed, if we construe the claim more broadly, it's kind of one of those be careful what you wish for things. You get a broad construction, but at the end of the day, your patent is invalid.
Well, we obviously need to deal with some other infringement issues. I want to reach one infringement issue, but we're going to have to deal with some other infringement issues and some invalidity arguments further on in the case. I don't think that the invalidity arguments are before the court right now.
It's not that we're being asked to decide written description, but certainly we're being asked to acknowledge that, and you have yourself acknowledged that there's only one embodiment actually disclosed for what can function as a manipulator in the context of this invention, and that is the rollers. So that leaves you open to quite a strong written description defense. And you know, usually, as I said, we take that into context because one of the canons of claim construction is, you know, to construe the claim in such a way as to preserve its validity. And I'm not deciding validity, but certainly sort of cautioning you that the construction you ask for may be to your own death.
I appreciate that, Your Honor, but if the disclosure of a single embodiment led to a written description problem, this court would have to undo reams of authority, because in effect it would be holding that every time there's a discussion of a single embodiment, although the court says repeatedly we're not going to limit the claims that way, we're going to look at the claims, that claim may well be invalid for a written description problem. And I don't think that that's what the court has held. What we ought to be doing is looking at the claim language. And one of, obviously, the claim language that we're looking at refers to manipulator. It doesn't refer to manipulator rollers, with one prominent exception. And that's Claim 4 and claims depending from Claim 4, which are not asserted in this case. And that those claims are inconsistent, we think, with the argument that manipulator is defined to be manipulator rollers. Now, the Claim 4 is not identical to the construction that the lower court used. But if manipulator were defined to mean rollers. It is hard to make sense out of the language in Claim 4.
No, not really. This isn't a claim differentiation case because Claim 4 has two rollers and it talks about exactly how they're to be mounted, where they're to be mounted, how they have to be parallel to the disintegrator. So the first claim, the independent claim, could still be construed to apply only to rollers, and Claim 4 would be a further refinement thereof because it's defining their location and the exact number that there must be.
For the exact reason that Your Honor has just identified, we are not making a technical claim differentiation argument. We're making a narrower point that if manipulator is defined as rollers, that's very odd phrasing. I wonder if I might speak just briefly to the second half of our argument, which is the request that summary judgment be entered on this issue to ensure that we're not standing before this court yet a third time on the same issue. We move for summary judgment based upon the ruling of this court in the prior case and also on the statements by both parties' experts. Our expert, as you would expect, did conclude that the term manipulator encompassed the chain slat conveyor that is used in the defendant's device. No surprise there. But perhaps a little bit more surprising, the Duratech expert, in fact, a pair of experts, also did the same thing, impliedly rather than explicitly. In the infringement context, Duratech's United States expert established that, these are his words, quote, the manipulation of the bale on the Duratech machines is achieved by a three-chain slat conveyor, close quote. The Duratech expert, in other words, found that that Duratech device constitutes manipulation. Even more clearly, and we have the page cites in our brief, when that expert was discussing invalidity, it cited three prior art patents, each of which used chain slat conveyors, each of which, according to the expert, satisfied the manipulator element of this claim. And so, in two respects, even Duratech's expert found that the manipulator element was satisfied. Now, we move for summary judgment, produce that evidence. In response, Duratech produced nothing other than a citation to Canadian proceedings and a Canadian expert applying Canadian law to say that a fact issue should be created. As a matter of law, Your Honors, we submit that that's insufficient and that the appropriate response for this court is to have summary judgment entered with respect to the manipulator element because it failed to carry its burden and also as a practical matter to ensure that we're not standing before the court yet again. We would leave for further proceedings the invalidity issues that Judge Moore has raised. We're prepared to deal with those, but those are not before the court at this point. Okay. Subject to further questions, I would seek to reserve my remaining time.
Thank you, Mr. Lancaster. Mr. Tomte.
May it please the court. Mr. Lancaster brought up the prior decision from this court of which you were a member, Judge Rader. In section one of the decision, on the top of page two, it says, in explaining the invention, the manipulator has rotating rollers which in turn the bale above a simultaneously rotating disintegrator. So in the prior decision, the court has said that the manipulator does have rollers. One of the arguments that Mr. Lancaster and the...
But we go on to say in some detail that there are definitions supplied. We refer to dictionaries. We note that this is a post-Phillips case, and so we note that we recognize the limited use of dictionaries, but we still adopt some of these definitions.
I agree wholeheartedly, Your Honor. But
then why doesn't the court follow those when they gave them to them?
I don't know, Your Honor, but I thought this was an interesting comment that the manipulator has rotating rollers, and I just bring it up for a comment.
But then we give manipulator mechanical device for remote handling of objects or materials and so forth. Why isn't that definition followed?
Well, I think it can be followed, but the judge has modified that, Judge Erickson has modified it somewhat to say that manipulator includes rollers, just that. He doesn't say two rollers. He doesn't say manipulator includes sidewalls with projections. He doesn't say that the manipulator rollers or manipulating rollers have paddles, with the paddles being angularly disposed or having curved lower ends, and that the rollers are parallel to the...
Yeah, but claim one states that there's a disintegrator having a roller, right?
Yes.
So it knows what a roller is, and then it goes on to say a manipulator mounted inside blah, blah, blah.
Inside the container.
It doesn't say a manipulator with a roller.
No, it does not.
Just what it said about the disintegrator.
Right.
So obviously, and that's somewhat bolstered, it was, as was suggested earlier, by claim four, which talks about the rollers with the manipulator.
I thought
it seems like claim one is much broader than rollers.
Yes, claim one is much broader. I noticed that Mr. Lancaster avoided claim differentiation theories.
Well, but that you
we're talking about claim four.
I'm saying that the claim does not have rollers in it.
I agree, Your Honor.
If you agree, then why don't we send it back and we can save the rest of the time here.
Well, I would like to comment a little bit more,
okay,
if I may, Your Honor.
Please.
It's a long way from our office, just to take a few minutes.
Didn't the district court limit this to rollers?
Yes, rollers.
Just and you say that's not what it says, so
no,
maybe we're done.
No, I'm saying that if you put that language into claim one, the language would say, with this limitation, a manipulator including rollers mounted inside the container for driving the crop material into the disintegrator. This machine was designed to prevent jamming, and solely to prevent jamming. As an afterthought, they said, well, you could discharge it from the right side, you could discharge it from the left side, or either side. You could also reverse the rotation of the disintegrator roller with a reversible hydraulic motor. There is nothing in claim one that spells out anything that would prevent jamming. So you have to include some language for the manipulator to prevent jamming. That's my theory, Your Honor.
Well, why is that rollers? Why can't that be chain-driven devices, which were known as to those of skill in the art?
Well, they don't support the bale above a disintegrating roller. They move the bale material into it. This patent was designed to eliminate the jamming, and it was the Bouchier patent in Canada showed rollers, but they did not show paddles. They showed sidewalls, but they did not show projections. But this was designed with those paddles in mind to prevent jamming.
Where in the claim does it specify that the manipulator must have rollers?
It does not. It would if Judge Erickson's interpretation is correct, or construction is correct. In the brief, they have argued that the claim language for the manipulator describes the precise or the exact physical embodiment.
Can I make sure I understand your answer to Judge Rader's question?
Yeah.
He keeps asking you where in the claim it says rollers. I mean, I thought I understood your definition of the word manipulator to be rollers, and so therefore it would... Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, did you argue that the entire specification says the manipulator is rollers, and that therefore that is your definition, that a manipulator, in this case, the only one ever mentioned, the only thing that is used is, in fact, the present invention of this thing is rollers? I mean,
no.
Isn't that... No? Okay.
I think there's a subclass of it. The manipulation means that is discussed in the specification are the walls with the projections, the paddles on the rollers, with the paddles thinning out at an angle with curved ends, but as a part of that, the only phrase or term that uses manipulator is with manipulator rollers. The rollers are described as manipulator rollers. And I think that Judge Erickson is completely proper in assuming and interpreting or constructing the claim to include rollers.
Would one of skill in the art have known at the time you could also manipulate it with a chain-driven device?
I don't know that, Your Honor, but I think if a person having ordinary skill in the art at the time of the invention, which would be the filing date of...
It says it includes rollers. That means there must be other things that manipulate as well, right?
Could be, Your Honor, but...
Such as chain manipulators.
But the manipulation means is described as supporting and manipulating the crop material. A flat cane drive, which my client has been using for 30 years or more, does not support the bale.
If your client's been using it, then people of skill in the art do know that a manipulator is more than rollers, right?
It can be, yes.
But yes, so the claim claims it as something other than just rollers.
But this person skilled in the art, Your Honor, at the time of the invention, in reading...
And they won't have a written description problem because one of skill in the art will read the term manipulator to mean either a chain device or a roller device, right?
No, I don't agree with that. I think that when a person skilled in the art that we're talking about...
Well, you said you've used it for 30 years. One of skill in the art must know this very familiar, but
it
must
is.
Be very
it
familiar
does,
with this.
It does manipulate or move the crop material. But the person skilled in the art is presumed to be reading the specification. And there is nothing in there that says that you could have anything other than a descendant or the manipulator rollers. There's nothing. So this person of ordinary skill in the art would say, oh, they've claimed a manipulator. It has to be these two rollers suspended above the disintegrator roller.
Even though there are prior art processors with conveyor belts, right?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
I grew up on a farm. We had all kinds of conveyor belts.
And this claim seems to talk about a manipulator without reference to rollers, right?
Yes.
Okay.
As Mr. Dunner has said before this court, I'm not out of time, but I'm out of words.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mr. Dunner. Mr. Lancaster?
I wonder if I might make two very brief points. First, I would like to return to Judge Moore's question, which I don't think I did a very good job of answering, and that is the reference to Quigley. And I would draw the court's attention to midway down that column, I think line 33 to be exact. Turning now...
Which column?
Column 8. I'm
okay, with
the same language that Judge Moore was referring to, but now I'm referring to the introduction to that language.
Mm-hmm.
So, column 8, line 33. Turning now to the operation of the crop material processor, reference to figures 1 through 14 is still made throughout. And so what the drafter is saying there is that those figures, which are explicitly described several times as being an embodiment, are what the specification is still talking about.
But they all show rollers.
Your Honor, we can
see...
But
there aren't any... that show a manipulator other than rollers.
We concede that the sole embodiment that is depicted is rollers, Your Honor. I want to return to that point, Your Honor, but our response to Judge Moore's further point. We do not think that the language in accordance with the present invention constitutes necessarily a definition, because that language clearly indicates that what's described is within the scope of the invention. It does not necessarily say by in accordance with that it is limited to that term. The last point that I'd like to make and to close with is the argument that counsel just made and the arguments that are contained in the Duratec brief illustrate as strongly as could be illustrated why this court has held that you don't import limitations from the specification into the claim, even when there's just one embodiment. And one reason that the court has consistently identified is you don't know where to stop. And what we have heard is not just rollers, but these sidewalls and these other elements, every time it's described in the brief, the list of elements gets a little bit longer. Why you would stop at rollers and not these other things is an illustration of why this court has not adopted that principle.
Thank you, Mr. Lancaster.
Thank you.